Amen. Praise the Lord for the message in that song as well. What a tremendous message that is. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 15, praise the Lord for His holy word that He has preserved for us, that has been a part of the United States of America since our very beginning. And what a blessing it is to continue to have faith and trust in the word of God. Luke chapter 15. If you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. I believe the Lord would have us at this passage here this morning. Luke chapter 15, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 24. The Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him," hearing the Lord Jesus Christ. "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. He said, A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you once again, what a blessing it has already been just being in church today. Thank you for what we've already experienced, and mainly your presence in this place. The Father, as we have now read this passage of Scripture that you have preserved for us, there's no doubt a message that you have for each one of us. And I pray, God, that you would just open up the hearts and the minds of all that are here. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Chapter 15, what a tremendous chapter in the Bible. In verse 1, we find that sinners wanted to hear Jesus. He brought the message of God to all people, no matter who they were, where they come from. And the Bible says that then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And then in verse 2, we find the religious crowd, the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. See, the religious crowd, self-righteous, wanted to find fault. They had no interest in what he had to say. They was trying to prove him wrong. But the sinners, and whom Jesus came to seek and to save, amen, wanted to hear him. And so Jesus, after this, we find in verse 3 all the way down to verse 24, as we read the text this morning, Jesus gives three of the most famous parables in all the Bible. And I believe they all connect. All three address something lost and repentance toward God in order to be found. And being found, meaning to be restored or reconciled to him. The first we find here, verses 3 through 6, we find the one lost sheep. As he presents this one lost sheep, verse 7 gives the application of the parable. I say unto you that likewise, talking about the parable of the one lost sheep, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. So we find here the application, the lost sheep would illustrate a lost sinner. The wilderness in which where he was lost would represent the world. The message from that would be even every lost soul is worth going after. Now the sinners are listening to him. They want to hear him. And he knows that not only do they have the sinners that want to hear what he has to say, but he has a religious crowd. And he presents these three parables. Every lost soul is worth going after. For every lost soul is loved by God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The world is made up of individuals. If you were the only one alive on planet Earth, Jesus would have went to the cross, suffered as he did, crucified as he was, would have been buried. He would have been resurrected for you. All of them need to hear that. Not only the lost that need to hear it, but the religious crowd, they needed to understand it as well. The Savior of the world was standing before them, and he came because God had a love for every individual on planet Earth. And he came with a message that everyone would need if they were to be found, if they would be reconciled to God, if they would be redeemed, if they would be saved. He would say, every individual must repent. Likewise, a joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. But individuals need to be made aware of their need to repent. You know, outside, and there's probably some even in this congregation here this morning that have no idea of what repentance is, let alone repentance unto God. And yet it's vitally important. God loves you. He has sent his Son to die for you, but as an individual, and you are important to God, God loves you, but every individual must be aware of their need to repent in order to be found. Every lost soul is worth going after. We should never give up on going after lost souls. As a church, we find that Jesus established a church, and the church is made up of individual souls. The church, we meet in this building, but that this building is not the Lighthouse Baptist Church. The Lighthouse Baptist Church is made up of every individual that has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and has been led here and been planted in this ministry to become part of the body of Christ, to become part of this local called out assembly. And he's established the church today that we would be able to get together to accomplish the great commission that he has left us, and it will continue to be the great commission, the most important work that has taken place on planet Earth until Christ returns. Because the idea is that he's going after every lost soul. Church should never give up on worldwide missions. Praise God for the church that wants to go into all the world as we have been commissioned to do so. And even though we can't go every individual, we can get behind missionaries and we can partner with missionaries as we have. And we send them out and they go out and representing not only Christ but representing us. And they lead people to Christ and they establish New Testament churches just because every lost soul is worth going after. Every lost soul in Indianapolis is worth going after. That's why we have a bus ministry. I don't understand how any true church that understands that God has a love for every lost soul, how can you not go out and pick up children? How can you not go out and knock on doors? How can you not go out and invite people to come to hear the message that God has for every lost soul to hear, to understand their need for repentance so that they can be found, be reconciled to God? Praise the Lord for a church with a heart for God and for that which God loves. You see, it's what causes heaven to rejoice. Did you don't lose sight of that? I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. I believe it's close to the heart of God. Jesus wanted to make sure they understood that every soul is worth going after. Then he gave the parable of the lost coin. The lost coin was lost in the house. The application is verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels, same joy, over one sinner, the same application, that repenteth. There are lost sinners in the house that attend churches every week. See, like the Pharisees and the scribes, they had a false sense of security. They believed in their religion. When Jesus Christ was standing before them, they didn't believe in him. They didn't want to receive what he had. They didn't want to hear him. They came to find fault so that they might exalt themselves in their own self-righteousness. But there's a lost coin in the house. You see, if we're aware of one being lost, then we ought to seek diligently not to give up on it. Can I tell you that Jesus did not give up on the scribes? He did not give up on the Pharisees. Matter of fact, it was Nicodemus who was a Pharisee, a religious ruler. And Jesus wanted to let him know, Nicodemus, don't put your faith and trust in religion. You must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And Nicodemus, you got to be born of the Spirit. You need to be saved. Yeah. We can't give up on those that are lost in the house, even when they might claim to be saved. Why did he say and address it as what woman? Did you notice that? His second parable was what woman? having 10 pieces of silver. Maybe silver a little bit more precious to women. I don't know. You know, gold, silver. No, that's not what it was. The reason he said that is, let me just take you to Titus in chapter 2. Because the house, the overseer of the house, now the man's the head of the home, but the Bible says in Titus in chapter 2 and verse 4, that they may teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. You mean loving your husband in a way that you want to make sure that he's saved. Loving your children in a way that you want to make sure that they're saved.
Amen. That's good.
To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. The one that is going to be have a heart, be a little bit more aware of what's taking place in the home is the keeper of the home. That's why he addressed the woman. Because you see, there could be some even in our families, and even though you raise them in church and you're trying to set an example before them, could be still blinded to their need. And somehow or other, they might have got this idea that I'm raised in a Christian church. I am going to church every Sunday. I read my Bible. And that has to be enough for me to be saved. And that is not enough for anyone to be saved. Even in the house, everyone has to repent. Even in the church, just getting your name on the membership. Now, we ask you if you're saved, and we make sure of baptism, but only you know. Jesus said, the second thing I want to bring across to you, you that are the sinners who need to be saved, and you're wanting to hear what I have to say, as well as you scribes and Pharisees that want to find doubt, this is what you need to understand. Even though you might think you're safe in your own belief, there's only one plan of salvation, and you must repent and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Say, preacher, well, how do you know? How can I know if my child's saved? How can I know if my husband's saved? How can I know if every church member is saved? Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I've often said, I wish God would give a spiritual vision so we could see the halo over every believer and the horns over every lost person. It would be a lot easier as a pastor, amen? It might even be easier as a parent. But we don't. We don't see that. But the Lord did present something to us here in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. He's dealing with salvation and only one plan, only one straight gate. He said, but beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. See, a lot of people might have sheep's clothing on. That doesn't mean they're saved. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. We can't look inside somebody's heart and tell a person they're lost or tell a person they're saved. We can tell a person what the Bible says you have to do to be saved, and then we can observe the fruit of a tree that tells us what kind of tree it is. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is honed down and is cast into the fire. That means they're lost. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Something about evidence of genuine salvation that is there if there is salvation. See, when they truly get saved, you know what the Bible says happens? Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner. one sinner that was lost in the house, lost one sinner that was lost in the church. God knows. And when they do get saved, there's joy. There's joy. Praise the Lord. And then we have the third parable, the prodigal. The prodigal son had a father. I believe this illustrates a backslidden believer instead of a lost sinner. There's some that might disagree with that, and I think the message is somewhat the same either way. But I believe he was addressing those that were backslidden. This illustrates a backslidden believer who was totally blinded to what he had. For he had a loving father. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided him. Had a father that had prepared for him. Had an inheritance that he wanted to give him. But he was totally blinded to what he had. And being totally blinded on what he had, he was focused on what he thought he wanted. The meaning of prodigal. It's not actually mentioned in this, but the definition is when it says, "and wasted his substance with riotous living." One given to extravagant spending, one who wastes. He had so much, he didn't realize what he had. And he took everything that he had and wasted it. He wasted his gifts, his talents. He wasted a relationship, a fellowship that he would have with the Father. Because he was focused on what he thought he wanted. He has a father, but he doesn't acknowledge him. That's a backslidden believer. You truly have. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you might have served him for a while, but he became your Savior. And as he became your Savior, you were adopted into the family of God. Now you have God as your heavenly Father. You have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That cannot change. But your fellowship, as we taught in Sunday school this morning, your fellowship can surely change when you forsake what you have with a desire for what you think you might want. I believe that Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, gave us an insight into this in 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9, "But they that will be rich," or will have focus on nothing but this world and what the world has to offer. "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish, hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition." Does that not describe the prodigal? You see, but For the love of money is a root of all evil, the love of this world's goods, the love of this world's things, which while some coveted after, he was coveted after the things of the world, and he did not appreciate the love of his father and the blessings that he had in the home. "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they erred from the faith." Not that they didn't have faith, they erred from it. You turned your back on it. "And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You found yourself sitting in a pig's sty, eating the husk that the pigs would not even eat, having no one or nothing." You see, restoring him would require repentance. Each one, whether it's a one lost in the world, whether it's a one lost in the house, or whether it's a backslidden one that is in the pig pen, each one required repentance to be found, to be restored. And the Bible says, chapter 15, verse 17, and when he came to himself, you have to have this message, you have to have this information, you have to have this understanding, this realization, acknowledgement of your condition before you can ever repent of that condition. You have to come to yourself. You have to be made aware of your condition as a lost person on a way to a devil's hell, or a backslidden Christian that's on the way to the chastening hand of God, whatever it might be. You have to come to a place of acknowledging your condition. Then you have to confess and forsake. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. That's his condition. I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of your love, of your forgiveness. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You see, repentance would include the same thing, an acknowledgement of our condition. It has to do with our intellect, our minds, our thinking. But it has to be your thoughts. It has to be your mind coming to this realization of where you're at. Your mind coming to this realization that you're lost in need of a Savior, or your mind coming to this realization, I know now that I was saved, but I have turned away from God, and I have been seeking after something that I thought I wanted, but was never there to start with. It was all deceptions by the devil himself. I had much more than I thought I had. I didn't appreciate my loving father. I didn't appreciate a loving home. I didn't appreciate the blessings that I had. You have to come to that acknowledgement. Yeah. That intellect. Can I tell you, you can't get saved twice. Some people, they don't want to believe that they could have committed those sins and been saved. But you could. Not without conviction, but you could. You want to try to say, no, I'm going to wash that out and just act like I wasn't saved, and now I get saved. You can't get saved twice. Salvation is once. It's being born of the Spirit of God. Once you've been born, you are a child of God's. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. That's what the Bible says. Hebrews in chapter 6. Just about done, so follow with me here. This is a very important part of the message right here. Hebrews in chapter 6, verse 1. Paul says, as he's writing, he says that therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Leaving the ABCs of Christianity. What are the ABCs? Not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead works and of faith toward God's salvation. Repentance. There had to be genuine repentance, and there had to be faith in God and believing that Jesus is the Savior, and you do need him to save you, and you asked him to come into your heart and save you. If you knew that you were a sinner and you believed that Jesus died for your sins, he was buried and then rose on the third day, and you asked him to come into your heart, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall, a promise from God, shall be saved. That is salvation. That's the ABCs of salvation. And we need to move on beyond that. And he says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism. You've got some ABCs. After salvation, you're baptized into the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. You understand these things. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, you have been made aware of Jesus Christ and have tasted of the heavenly gift. You had your sins forgiven and washed and made partakers of the Holy Ghost. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good words of God and of power and of the powers of the world to come. That means you know you were saved. You've even had God answer prayers that you've asked him to answer. If they shall fall away, backslidden. To renew them again unto repentance, or to get them saved, to repent for salvation again, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, but put him to an open shame. If you were saved, every time you sin, you put Christ to an open shame. You cannot go back and get saved a second time. You are saved. It's impossible to be saved twice because God gives you one plan of salvation, and it's one time, and it's good throughout an eternity. So as a Christian, don't think that you can get by with a life of sin, because you're representing him. Whether you understand or not, you represent Christ. He dwells within you. And your testimony could possibly put Christ to an open shame. Our intellect, you have to realize, lost sinner or saved sinner, backslidden. I need Christ. I need to repent and get saved. I need to repent and have my sins washed away and reconciled to my Father. A confession and to forsake, which involves the volition of man. The volition of man is our free will. I don't know who has made the decision and who hasn't. I can look at fruit and I can tell and I can see different things, but when it comes right down to it, only you know. But God will give you an awareness, and then it comes to your volition, your will. Do you will to be saved? If you don't will to be saved, you can't be saved. If you will to be saved, then praise God. If you did what God says, you're saved. If you're backslidden, then you have to have a will to have forgiveness for those sins and restored to the fellowship with Christ. You have to have a will to say, God, I'm not worthy to be called your son any longer. I actually did this. I'm not worthy, but God, if you will forgive me and draw me back to you and give me this fellowship, I'll receive it and I'll appreciate it. But I will to live for you now. I don't want to ever go back to that pigsty. I don't want to ever go back and forsake what you have given to me. Forgive me. Not only do I confess, but I forsake. And forsaking sin, I never want to go back there again. And if you confess and forsake, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The question this morning, are you part of the lost that are listening? Wanting to apply? Are you part of the self-righteous, just trying to find fault in what he says? He addresses both. And it comes down to, what do you want? What is your mind saying? What does your will desire? He loves you, and he wants you to be saved. And he wants you to be a part of his family. He wants to give you a gift of everlasting life. Do you want it? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you want it? If you want it, you can have it. because that's how much God loves you. Individually, you need to know that God loves you. Individually, you need to know that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And you can have it if you want it. Do you want it? Father, we bow before you this morning. We thank you for this passage of scripture that we have read and presented as I believe you would have it to be presented. And now, Father, it comes time for individual decisions to be made. There's possibly those here that are lost and know they're lost and need to be saved. There's some here that are backslidden. They know they have things in their life that's not pleasing to you. I pray, God, that you reveal to them what your will is for their life and then lead them to make those decisions. Bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.